We'd be seated. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for, as we start to come together on this Christmas season, that, Lord, again, just again, rejoice in your birth and, Lord, the gift to us. And so we just thank you for that. So I just pray you continue to be our teacher, and I pray you just move in a powerful way. Lord, I pray you speak to us this morning. I pray you just stir within my heart, and I'd speak words of the Spirit, and everyone would be able to receive from the Spirit. And so we just thank you again for this morning. We thank you for who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 6 and start off with verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says this: "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. Now, just to put this in context a little bit, just a reminder, I mean, we could just talk about this verse and just go on and make applications, but I do want to make a point that we've been going through the book of Luke, and so Luke is presenting, revealing Christ to us, the Holy Spirit to us, is documenting it, if you will. And so he is showing us how Jesus is moving out into his ministry and how God impacts the things around us. And so at this point, Jesus is pretty much established and he's making an impact. And what he's doing in this, in chapter 6, he is really, we start hearing from him where he is teaching us and he's giving us a revelation that goes way beyond religion. It goes way beyond following rules, and he zeroes in on the heart and the relationship with God. So it really is, if we were sitting down with Jesus, say, "Jesus, you know, come here, I'd like to sit down and talk with you." Here's what he would share. Here's how he would start speaking to us. And so I just want to say that in context to understand that when Jesus speaks these words, they're revolutionary. Okay, they're revolutionary for the time, and they're revolutionary for us today. But anyway, so just put it in that context so you have the people listening to this. Now, to summarize it, like we'll summarize this verse is what Jesus is teaching when you look at this section in chapter 6. And the summary is this: what we treasure produces. Okay? What we treasure produces. And whatever we treasure, okay, you understand, what we treasure produces. There's an impact. Whatever we treasure will come out of our mouth, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we treasure in the abundance of our heart, it is going to come out of our mouth, all right? So what's stored up in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. Now, or put it another way. Here's another way you could put it. The outflow of the mouth reveals the heart. The outflow of the mouth reveals the heart. I'm very conscious of this. You know, each Sunday morning, you know, some people ask, I get up really early to prepare, you know, say, "Well, are you studying? You getting, you know, the message?" No, I've got the message together by Sunday morning. You know, I would be in sheer panic if I didn't have the message ready by Sunday morning. But what I'm conscious of is I need to get my heart right, because I know out of my heart the mouth speaks. And so it just takes me a long time to get my heart right. And so I'm just like, "Okay, God, what do you want me to say? What's the word saying? Not what I want it to say." And so trying to focus totally on the Lord and what he says, because I know that out of my heart my mouth will speak. Like, I could just, like, if I was just really upset at Adam, okay? So Adam, I just upset at Adam. And so I'm just in the morning, I get up, and so I'm starting, I'm going to share a message and, you know, whatever it is, you know? But that just kind of upset. I think during the message, I'm going to just somehow just get a dig out at Adam, you know? It's just going to come out, you know? And probably once I do it, I just wouldn't feel too bad about it, because I think he probably deserved it, you know what I'm saying? But that's what happens. What's in your heart, the mouth speaks. And so we need to pay attention to what is in our heart. And so this whole thing is, What do we treasure in our heart? Well, we treasure what God has to say, what God wants to do. And as we treasure that, and that is what's in our heart, that flows out, okay? Because it's going to flow out sooner or later. Because it says here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks. Now, and so as we look at this and we see, and so God, again, Jesus is telling us this, okay? So he says, well, I'm talking about, you know, I'm not so much talking about what you said. I'm talking about your heart from which it flowed. See, he's changing the dynamic here, which is fascinating. So here we have things. Why do people do the things they do? You ever wonder, why do they do that? You know, okay. But what happens is good treasure produces. Evil treasure produces. I mean, it says here, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. So what you treasure produces. So that's the reason we know that treasure produces, whether it's good or it's evil. Now, we have a thing in Proverbs, and this helps us understand. By the way, we can sit around, and this is probably examined in our own heart. We can, okay, I got several people. I could just, you know why they're doing what they're doing, okay? But the point of it is we need to look at our own heart. That's what Jesus is saying. Look at your own heart. You know, you think you've heard that, you know, little cliche, you point your finger at somebody and there's three pointing back at you. Well, God, Jesus kind of says that too. But anyway, we need to understand the dynamic of the heart and what God is trying to teach us here of having our heart right. And he's saying, what do you treasure? And if you will, look at Proverbs 11:3, and you see, why do people do the things they do? You know, and the good treasure produces, evil treasure produces. So you see this in Proverbs 11:3. It says this, the integrity of the upright guides them, okay? The integrity of the upright, their functioning, who they are, their character guides them. Good treasure produces. Good treasure produces. But, now it gives a contrast in Proverbs, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroy them. So the opposite of the integrity guiding them, the crookedness, you know, trying to your own agenda or trying to work your own will or trying to do things a little, you know, deceitful, that produces. It also produces, evil treasure produces. So we need to understand that. So when we look at situation, we're moving forward, we got to know, where's our heart in this? Where's our heart with? And we need to understand that. Now, so when we look at this, it's like, oh my gosh, what is the direction? We want under direction before the Lord, and that's what we're talking about, direction before the Lord. And so we see that the abundance of the heart speaks. You know, and it's like, you say something, oh, I didn't mean it, I was just kidding. And then why'd you say it? You know, it's something out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Now, we mess up. There's a bunch of stuff. Every once in a while, you know, I'll say something. I say, ah, I wish I hadn't said that, you know. But it's more like a bad joke or something like that. But I have the opportunity and to recognize that because my wife is in most messages. And bless her heart, she just, you know, you did a good message. I don't think you should have said that, you know, and you think, and she's right, I shouldn't have said it. So I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about expressing, you know, attitudes and, you know, being condemning and judging, you know, those things that are coming out of one's mouth. We all slip up. If you talk long enough, you're going to slip up. But that's not what this is talking about. So we see, though, that what we treasure in our heart, that abundance of that treasure speaks. It speaks. And we need to recognize that about ourselves. Like we can just carry a grudge and upset and we're going to be around people and I just won't say anything. It comes out. See, that's the thing. So God's telling us to examine our heart. And that's the key issue in this. This is the key issue in this, know where our heart is. So the pure heart, now here we go, the pure heart. Now I don't want to say the pure heart. oh, the absolutely perfect, no, we're dead. All up. No, it's the pure heart, the ones that's seeking after God. I want to understand. I'm a weak man. You know, I have all things I'm working through, but I want to understand. That's the pure heart. I'm not holding a grudge, holding something against it, you know, being vindictive. So the pure heart sees as God sees, can see just what God sees because the heart is pure and wants to see as God sees, while the impure heart can't see like God sees. You just, you know, you explain something to somebody, explain, and they just can't see it, you know. And sometimes because their heart doesn't want to receive it because of their own agenda or whatever, so they can't see it no matter what you say. But we see this with this, you know, sister section in Matthew 5:8, and it says this, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, okay? And we'll put it like, oh, I'm perfect. That's not what it's talking about. The ones without the agenda, I want to know what God says. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, God, that's what you want to do. And that's all I want to know. I just want to know in my weaknesses, I want to know what you're doing, how you're leading. And he said, blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. So that's a promise here. So that's encouraging that our heart produces. Now, so when we see God, now again, and we understand this is relative in the situation because we seek God and we're seeing and trying to understand. But the promise is, God says, no, you will see me. You will see what I want, and I'll teach you and I'll lead you in that direction. Because that's your heart desire. I mean, if that wasn't true, I mean, what a hopeless position we would be on this earth. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to show you. You'll never know. Well, no. He, through the Bible and through the church and through friends, and through, he teaches us when we want to know. And so when we have that pure heart, want to see as God sees, and then he reveals things to us. And then this verse can be said about us, okay? Or this verse will apply to those situations. Look at Titus. It's a fascinating verse to me, Titus chapter 1, verse 15. And it says this. Now, this is in connection with Matthew 5:8 there. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. To the pure, now again, he's not talking about to the perfect, you never do anything wrong. No, to the pure, those who have accepted Christ and are seeking after God, to the pure, all things are pure. See, to the pure, and you go and you're learning, and you're written, and then all things are pure. Why are all things pure? You see like God wants you to see. See? So, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled, the unbelieving, nothing is pure. Nothing. Everything wrong. Everything is impure. Everything is to be used. Everything is to fit their agenda. Everything is to be worked. To the unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciousness are defiled. See, they don't even feel bad about it. It's defiled because they have their agenda. See, they have their agenda. And based on that agenda, they see through that agenda, not what God wants to see, but what they want, you know, it's defiled. They can't see the purity of what God's doing. You see what I'm saying here? So God is showing us, it's like, what are you treasuring in your heart? Because out of that treasure, you're going to speak. Out of that treasure, your heart is going to direct you. All right? So we have that principle. Say, whoa. Okay? So it's you think, oh, it's just what I said, but we all mess up. But no, what's the heart? What is our heart in that situation? So when we go in the situation, I'm not going to say this, I better not say that. No, is our heart right before God? And you want to see and behave as God directs you, so you purify your heart. And then, therefore, that's what flows out. And you don't have to be on your guard all the time. Amen? Does that make sense? Now, we'll make an application, okay? This has powerful earthly applications. Powerful earthly. I mean, I like to talk about my sins forgiven and me going to heaven and spending eternity with Jesus. Amen? And that's the truth, no matter what. No matter what. Because that's the truth. Because God's forgiveness is not earned, all right? It is given. We trust on him. He paid the penalty. Totally forgiven. But what we know here, that God returns to us what we treasure in our heart. So he's not going to skip over it. He still, in this earth, is going to return to us what we do on this earth. There's a consequence. I mean, you go outside in your garden, you plant a seed, you know, you water it, and it's going to grow. It's going to grow. There's a return for our actions in the world and how things work. And so although we trust Jesus and we know we're totally forgiven, have a home in heaven, however, on this earth, God deals with us according to our heart and earthly actions. He does. I mean, I was reading this morning, and it's about discipline, that God disciplines us, and we should rejoice in disciplines because we are sons. And it's if he didn't discipline us, we would be illegitimate, you know? So I know I'm a son. I really do, because he's disciplining the daylights out of me. You know, it's like, gosh, you know, I'm thinking a lot of other people he could work on to kind of give me a break here, you know? But it's like, no, Wallace, you just have my full attention right now. See, so there is our actions on earth, there is a return for our actions on earth. Home in heaven, all right, doesn't impact our home in heaven at all. We're good. But so we want to know, though, that God deals with us according to our heart on this earth, all right? In context with these verses, you look at Luke 6, 37. So we're flowing through Luke chapter 6, verse 37. It says this, "Judge not, and you will not be judged." What? Okay. Does that mean judge not and other people won't judge you? No. People are going to judge you no matter what you do. They might judge you because you're doing right. I mean, no. Judge not, and God won't judge you on this earth. I mean, there's a consequence. There's a, you know, the dots are connected. And it says this, "Condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Oh, my gosh, if I don't forgive, God won't forgive me. I won't go to heaven. No, we've already accepted God. We're totally forgiven. We have a home in heaven. He's talking about forgiving one another here on this earth. And then as a result, through him and how he works in these things, he will also forgive you for earthly things, and you won't suffer those consequences. See what I'm saying? That's what it says. Now, Jesus is laying this out, and the thing is a heart issue. Now, here's something you think, okay. And so you won't think, well, now, it's kind of, I don't want you to look at it like tit for tat. You know, oh, I did this, going to get this back. I did this good, going to do this good. But he's showing you as you walk through life, God is working through your life, and there's a blessing for doing what he says, you know. And if we do things and totally disobey him, there's going to be a response, a negative response, you know, because of things we do. I mean, you read through the scriptures, you see that. Our home in heaven is secure. But the Bible says he teaches us. He disciplines us, you know, so we'll be righteous and behave like him. He's raising us up, okay? That make sense? I don't get the two confused because they're not intended. But here's the thing. It's not tit for tat. Oh, I do good thing. I do bad thing. You know, like that. Because it's much bigger than that. Because the next verse is like, whoa. Because look at 6:38, next verse. "Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put to your lap. For the measure you use will be measured back to you." So, not only does God deal with us on this earth, God returns to us abundantly more than we give out. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing all through the scripture. Like you plant a piece of corn. You plant it, cover it up, water it. What is that? You come out, pop, you get one kernel back, right? No, you pops up, you get about 10 ears full of kernels. There's abundance return. See, that's a sowing and reaping. And so this is what God is talking about, that in this world as we walk through it, there's a principle of sowing and reapings. Now, this verse is often used to encourage financial giving. Which is true, because that's the only way I've ever heard this verse preached on, is financial giving. You give a buck, you get 100 back. I mean, it's like that thing. There's a multiplication. You give, and there's a multiplication back. And I think that is certainly true because that element of sowing and reaping. However, in this context, it has a much broader meaning. Abundance will be poured out on us based on whatever we treasure in our heart, good or bad. Good or bad. It's like, oh, goodness gracious. And so what we plant, good or bad, and it will be given back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and be put into your lap. And I've always been told about giving. You give, and it will be given back to you, immeasurable, pressed down, running over. I'm like, hallelujah, I'm going to give, and so the Lord will provide financially for me. I think that's good, especially the church, and it's Christmas, if you want to write a check before the first of the year, so it counts for your taxes this year. I mean, we could go off. I mean, this thing would be great. But it's bigger than this. This is way bigger than this because it's the kingdom principle here. The kingdom principle is we will receive in greater proportion than we give out, good or bad. Good or bad. All before the Lord, a pure heart, and we're just pouring out, doing what the Lord says, the best we understand, whatever that giving out is our attitude and what you're treasuring. God says, I'm going to multiply it back to you. And we go and say, you know, I just, a bunch of nonsense, nobody what I'm doing, I'm just going to kind of, I can cut some corners here, I can cheat a little here, and I can just get around and nobody will know here, you know, just a little bit here, a little bit here, all negative. God says, I am abundantly going to pour out curses on you. Not equal to what you did. I'm going to multiply more than what you did. Like, oh Lord, because the sowing and reaping works in the negative. Works in the negative. Now, I don't know about you. That's kind of a motivation to me. It's like, I don't know. You know, the Lord. But you know, it's funny, it's interesting to even recognize this, the giving, either good or the bad, there has to be a deep understanding of God. There has to be an understanding of God to make that sacrifice to do what He says, and the understanding of God that we do, and we do in the negative sense, we need to have a deep understanding of God that that's going to come back on us in a negative sense. See what I'm saying? Because it's the thing of God. It's not people are not doing it. He may use people, but God says, this is how I'm going to work this deal. You know. So as believers, by the way, this is to believers. It's not to the lost world. So He's telling believers, this is to you. You better pay attention to what I say, and you better pay attention to what you're doing. And it's like, again, how does it look? It's just like planting that corn. Planting that corn. You plant that corn, and what do you get? A stalk, 10 corns, and every ear is full of kernels, right? Abundance. And what we do, we plant on the other side, we plant that weed. And we plant that weed. And that weed comes up, you know, and it's got all its seeds and all that thing. We don't get one seed. We get a whole thing of seeds. You ever put one in your yard, see a weed grow in your yard? If you don't do something, it covers your whole yard. It's negative. You know, and some of us, well, I'm a believer, and we plant negative seeds, and we pray for crop failure. See, we just, God, don't just take care of it. So we plant, we say, look at that, just, so we're praying that crop fails. That didn't work. It's going to blossom. It's going to blossom. Amen? So this is what it's saying here. So there's an abundance. And so the kingdom principle here, and this is good, we look at, and God's telling us, see, God is doing this. He is doing this. Okay, so He's doing it. What He's doing now is He's telling us what He's doing. So we'll at least know. It's not like surprise. You know, we get to heaven, well, let me tell you why I blessed you. You know, and let me tell you why all this bad stuff happened. Let me tell you. No, I'm going to tell you now. So you can understand, and so you can walk in this kingdom principle. So the kingdom principle is we receive in greater proportion than we give, good or bad, good or bad. Look at Galatians 6:7. It's interesting how this 6:7 starts. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. See, that's funny. It just think of that. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You're not getting away with nothing. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, again, this isn't a checklist like, oh, I got to do all these things good, and if I don't come to church every Sunday, I'm going to get a black mark, and then like that, I'm going to make Wallace mad. Of course not. Is it? No. It's the heart about what God is showing you, a desire to see him and to walk in the things he shows you, and it's you and him in the heart, in the purity of the heart, he will speak to you and guide you. Amen? And you deny that, and it's over here, your own agenda, what you want to do in your corners, then that will guide you. God says, you're going to reap a harvest on both ends. Which one do you choose? I'm telling you, because there's a benefit to following me. I want to take care of you, but if you do this other stuff, I can't take care of you. But again, it's not tit for tat. It's abundance. It's abundance. Christians, all Christians live in abundance. You know that? All Christians live in abundance. Over here in good or over here in negative. God promised us abundance. So anyway, so we look at that and say, okay, God, he is not mocked. Don't deceive. God is not mocked. We're not going to get away with this stuff. And it's us before the Lord. It's us before the Lord, okay? Now, so here we see that as a result, and just put in context, and I put this here because God put it here, which is a good reason. He says, therefore, Jesus warns us, since Jesus is telling us, he warns us of something. He says some self-examination is needed. Self-examination. Now, in his infinite wisdom, and this is what he goes, and you can read the whole section, but here is what he says about the self-examination. Luke 6:41. Why do you see in the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Now, this is in context. You ever have that, you pull out, we can preach on that, but it's in context here. It's that you're walking around and judging and condemning. You're looking at the speck in your brother's eye, you know. It says you need to look at the log in your own eye. Amen. You know what a log in your own eye does? It distorts your vision. You can't see. See, you're logging in your own, you can't see. And so you can actually deceive yourself and be doing the negative because you're deceived, because you got a log in your own eye. You're not dealing with log in your own eye. And these people around you with a speck in their eye driving you nuts, but you can't even see that correctly. So he says, watch the log in your own eye. So here it is. Now, this is fascinating. So we have this picture set up. God is showing us this, and he's showing us something that we can understand and how he's moving and then how we can cooperate with him and see him work in a powerful manner, all right? So bottom line, here's a bottom line divine truth. The bottom line divine truth, we look at this. Whatever God, whatever is in our heart is going to come out, okay? Whatever in our heart is going to come out. Whatever we treasure in our heart produces fruit. There's a natural outflow, just like an apple tree. You plant an apple tree, it produces fruit because it's an apple tree, all right? It's the same principle there. The fruit of what we treasure will ultimately come out of our mouth sooner or later, good or bad. So look, so here's the verse. It pulls it all together. Luke 6:41-44. Actually, it's 6:43-44, but says this. Now, this is in the flow. This is the flow, the context. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bushes. Now we think, well, we know that, but what he's telling us, I'm talking about people. You think you know that, but people is the same way. And look at your own heart. So let's flow into the next thing about the fruit. We have the examples of the good tree and the bad tree. Now it says this, the divine truth in 6:45, and this is the one we started out with, and this is the context. Based on fruit. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Now look at 6:45 again, Luke 6:45. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. His mouth speaks. Now, right here. Bottom line, divine truth in all of this. To change our actions, we need to change our heart. Amen? To change. Now, I got a perfect example. Perfect example. Like this. And I've shared this before, so Linda won't mind. So, Linda likes the house clean. She likes the bed made and stuff like that. She just likes it. That's just what she likes, you know. And so, I'm give or take, I don't care, you know, like that. And so it's just, but to keep a happy home, I help her keep it nice, you know. And I really try, I really do pay attention. I try to keep things, I keep it nice going, you know, I really do try, okay. So I see, and that's what I do. And she'll go visit her mother, and she'll stay gone a week. I don't do a thing. I don't pick up nothing. I don't wash anything. I do nothing. Not one crying thing. I mean, nothing. You know why? Because my heart and changed. It's not. I'm doing it because she wants me to do it, and that's a happy home. But it's not in my heart. It's in my heart to make her happy, okay, but not to have a clean house. So when she leaves, so I just don't do anything because it's not in my heart. See, now if it's in my heart, I would keep the house clean while she was gone, right? That's what this is talking about. And looking for heart change. If you want, for me to want a clean house, I need to change my heart. All right? And God's still working on that, plus a lot of other things. So what we have here, to change our actions, we need a heart change. We need a heart change, okay? Now the question, here's the question. How do we change our heart? That'd be the big question. How do we change our heart? Now, first of all, we have to recognize in the Bible, because we're saying, how you change your heart. You try that with your kids. Change your heart. You know? Now, obedience would be good no matter what you think. And you're just like, okay. But you would like to change their heart. Clean up your room. I don't want to clean up. Clean up your room. I'm going to take away your phone. You're not going to eat for the next month. Okay, they clean their house. They clean their room. Okay. Every day, clean your room. They get it done. What if they had a heart change? Say, Mom, I want to come in. I want to clean my room. I want to clean my brother's room. They had a heart change. Of course, they'd have to put you in the hospital. You would just die on the spot like something's wrong. But what you're looking for, so how do you have a heart change? So that's not, you just can't tell someone, have a heart change. But the Bible shows us how to have a heart change. Now, first of all, we acknowledge, we see in the Bible, we see that like love, we'll look at love, that's a heart change. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. It produces fruit, right? Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit is producing fruit if it lays within us, okay? So we have potential, okay? We accept Christ. We have potential because when we accept Christ, our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit is in us. And so it wants to produce fruit. We may not water it, you know, we may not feed it. We may run over it with a tractor, but it wants to produce fruit. It's trying to produce fruit. So we recognize that that is a fruit of the Spirit. But second, we see this, we need to treasure in our heart. Now, this is important, a heart change. We need to treasure in our heart that God loves. See, the fruit of the Spirit is love, but also we need to understand that God loves. Now, he loves us, but God is a loving God. He's not mean. Not mean. He's loving, okay? So here's interesting. The divine truth and the key to heart adjustment, right here. You want the key to heart adjustment. Listen carefully. We need to grasp that God loves us. Amen? We need to grasp that God loves us. And if we know that God loves us and fully understand the depths of that love, love is produced. You with me? If we understand that God loves us and how much He loves us, we understand that, like that, we fully grasp that, we understand that, then love is produced. If we treasure in our heart that God loves us, He loves, we're treasuring in that, it means more to us than anything else, we treasure that God loves us, then love is produced. It's produced, okay? And love is produced. And because love is produced, we love Him. Somebody loves the Lord, and they're not faking it or something. It's just, oh, what God has done for me, and I receive the fullness of my forgiveness, the fullness of my redemption, the fullness. And what we do, we just love back. Right? It's produced, so we love God back. What is it? Love God. All right, you know. No, it's we understand how much He loves us, and then the fruit is, and what is the fruit and the production of what we treasure in our heart comes back is loving God. Amen? There it is. There it is. Wonderful verse. Look at 1 John 4:19. Look at this. We love. I don't love. But it says, we love because why? First loved us. I don't love. I don't love nobody. That tells me I don't know that God loves me. That's what that says. See, we love because God loved us. And everything changes. God loves us. Everything changes. And it produces in us. And we love God back. Oh my God, I deserve hell. I deserve all the consequences of hell. But God died in my place. He loved me that much, and I love Him back. He's reading this Tim Keller book. He had a line in there. It says, we understand one thing about God. We understand that God adores us, and we adore Him back. See, but you have to understand He adores you. He adores. So the principle, so there is the thing. That's how we change our heart. If we can't love, it's a heart issue between us and God. You see what it's saying here? Because love is a fruit of the Spirit. And we love because God loves us. And the fruit of the Spirit produces love. I mean, he putting everything, setting everything up that we would love. We would love like God loves. Our capacity to truly love comes from God. I can't love. Issue is that you don't know how God loves you. That's the issue. You may look at all these issues, but that is not the issue. The issue is you don't understand that God loves you. Your capacity to love comes from, the capacity to truly love comes from God, and it flows out. Amen? I mean, this is incredible. Knowing that God truly loves us, knowing that God truly loves us will produce love. There it is. We'll produce love in us and fill our heart to overflowing abundantly with love. But it comes from knowing that God loves us. And it just fills up, and it rolls out. You know, how can you just love God? Because He loves me. Now, here's what's interesting, too. The abundant love not only produces greater love for God, but it also produces love that outflows to others. I love, and it's because God loves me, and the Holy Spirit says the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it just flows out. It just flows out to God, and it flows out to others. We start seeing other people that don't know Jesus, who need Jesus, and we have a heart for them to introduce them to Jesus. And there's one verse in the Bible, and it says, how can you love the one who begot and not love the one that's begotten? Now, I like the way that says, a little confusing, but how can you love the one that begot us, God, and not love the one He has begotten, all His believers? So how can you love God and not love the people around you? Sinners because they need to know him, but believers because he died for them. See, so Jesus, can you see everybody's kind of sitting around in the grass out there? You know, they didn't have a nice building. They're listening to Jesus and they're going, whoa, brother. You know, it's like, Jesus. See, I mean, they're comprehending. They're raised in the Jewish system under the oppression of the Romans. And they're going, what? But what are we looking at here? How you change your heart. How you change your heart. And it's the whole thing. We change our heart by understanding God loves us. And that flows out of that. So if we understand that God loves us, what do? We love God back. But God's love is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's overflowing, and it overflows to everybody. Amen? It's a powerful section when you look at this. Why don't we love? Because we don't grasp that God loves us. Therefore, to truly love, we must first grasp the infinite love of God has for us. Now, we can close it all in this. This is how it closes. And we put it in this context. This is like incredible for us to move forward in wisdom and how to appropriate what God is giving us, because he's telling us. He's telling us how to walk in this kingdom, and you can't walk in this kingdom without God. So here it is. The gospel is the power of God. And love flows into the heart of everyone who accepts that message, the gospel. Are you with me? The gospel is the power, and love flows into the heart of everyone who accepts the gospel. It's all focused around love. You see what I'm saying? Now look at this verse in this context. Now look at the verse in this context. God so loved the world. And what 1 John 4:19 said? We love because he first loved us. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. And we know he loved the world, and then we love him back. Amen? So it's a powerful, the connection there is powerful. So the connection is power within and love without. But it's based on the relationship with God. And the relationship with God is to understand how much he loves us. It's how much he loves us. The issue in the ability to love others is the problem of not understanding he loves us. So where do you have to go? You have to go with the person's relationship with God before you can go horizontal. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm so glad God loves me. You know? I don't know. I saw a license plate. I won't say exactly what it said. It says, God loves you, but everybody else thinks you're a butt. You know, that is not, see, that shouldn't be it. You know, that shouldn't be it. God loves you, therefore they see God's love flowing out of you. Amen? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that, God, you love us. I mean, it's just unbelievable that you do love us, Lord, and that you died for us. If we were the only person in the world, you would have died for us. So I thank you, God, for that. And Lord, I thank you that you're showing us that you want to pour out your blessings upon us. Pour out your blessings, and you're showing us that you desire for us to seek you. And a pure heart is a heart that seeks after God. And God, you want to speak to us. And we thank you that you want to speak to us and that you adore us. I just think of that Tim Keller book when he said that God adores us. And that is so true. So we thank you for that. And Lord, let us just realize the depth of how much you love us so that we can love you back and love others like you love others. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.